Well, as Minister Malachy said, it was Minister Shaun to do this drush, but him not being well, you stuck with me again. So today I'm going to find it. Today I'm speaking about 3 days' walk into the promised land. And the emphasis today in this message is that we're going to learn to believe Yah for the things that he sometimes does not give us on the spot. We need to stand by faith and not give in, not give up. Remember that we haven't got there yet, but once they've left Egypt, they're in the wilderness for 40 years. That was a long time they had to wait. But let us look at our scripture from today, from Shemot, Exodus chapter 12, verse 25. It says, when you come to the land which Yehovah will give you, as he has promised you, you are to observe this ceremony. And this was the ceremony of the festival of Matzah and the festival of the Passover that they had to observe. This was a promise of Yah, but they had no idea when they were given those instructions that would have been 40 years later before they actually entered the land. 40 years is a long time to wait for a promise. So some of you people might be waiting for something out there. I'm sure you won't have to wait 40 years. In Devarim, or Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 3, it says, therefore listen, Israel, and take care to obey, so that the things will go well with you, and that you will increase greatly, as Yehovah the Elohim of your ancestors promised you by giving you a land flowing with milk and honey. They were promised that they were going to a land of milk and honey. 40 years in the wilderness wasn't milk and honey. So while in the wilderness they were being told that the promised land would be flowing with this milk and honey, in other words, he was going to provide all of their needs. And I'm going to move now into Yehoshua. You think, Minister Tamar, where are you going? You'll see. In Yehoshua, and we read from Yehoshua today, and when we were singing in our things, who will we serve? We will not serve the gods of man, but the God of Israel. So Yehoshua was the one that actually took them in to the promised land. That's why I'm going there. So it says in Yehoshua, or Joshua chapter 1 verse 3, I am giving you every place you will step on with the sole of your foot, as I said to Moshe. Now this wasn't the first time these words were spoken. In Yehoshua chapter 1 verses 9 to 11, it says, haven't I ordered you, be strong, be bold, so you don't be afraid or downhearted, because Yehovah your Elohim is with you wherever you go. Yehoshua instructed the officials of the people to go through the camp and order the people, prepare provisions, because in 3 days you will cross this Yarden, that is the river, to go in, the Jordan River, to go in and take possession of the land Yehovah, your Elohim, is giving you. Remember last time I spoke of the 3 days. And it's still here in Yehoshua. They were told in 3 days they would cross the Yarden. As believers in Yeshua HaMashiach, the following scriptures from Ephesians apply to us and our trust in the promises that Yah has given the believers. And I'm tying the two in, because I think they're very important. In this room we have a mixture of Jew and Gentile, but we are all believers. We are all one in Yeshua HaMashiach. In Ephesians 1 and verse 13, it says, "Furthermore, you have heard the message of the truth, the good news offering you deliverance, and put your trust in the Messiah, and put your trust in the Messiah was sealed by him with the promise of the Ruach HaKodesh." And in Ephesians chapter 3 verse 6 it says that in union with the Messiah and through the good news, the Gentiles would be joint heirs, a joint body, and joint sharers with the Jews in what Elohim had promised. And in Ephesians 6:10-13, it says, "Finally, grow powerful in union with Adonai, in union with his mighty strength. Use all the armor and weaponry that Yehovah provides, so that you will be able to stand against the deceptive tactics of the adversary. For we are not struggling against human beings, but against the rulers, authorities, cosmic powers governing this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. So take up every piece of war equipment Yehovah provides, so that when the evil day comes, you will be able to resist. And when the battle is won, you will be standing." Okay, you won't be fallen, you'll be standing. Ephesians 6 and verse 15 goes on to say, "And wear on your feet the readiness that comes from the good news of shalom," or the good news of peace. You'll be standing, you've got to have something on your feet. Ephesians is the spiritual version of the book of Yehoshua. In Yehoshua, the children of Israel are told, "I am giving you every place you will step on with the sole of your foot." So once again, the foot is important. Where you place your foot, that is the land that you will be yours. And Ephesians, they need to wear on your feet the readiness that comes from the good news of shalom. Notice that Yah told Yehoshua that the land was his to give as an inheritance to Israel. Then Yehoshua responded and told the people that they will pass into the land within 3 days. Then Shaul told the Ephesians, or the people of Ephesus, that they have an inheritance in heavenly places, and that there are enemies to fight in those heavenly places. But he encouraged, he put an armor, gave them an armor to fight with, and he put on them, their feet, the preparation for the gospel, or the good news, the one that we can say hallelujah to. I want to stress the point of footwear. Shoes help us walk. The scriptures speak of Yehovah's will for us to walk by faith. As Yah told Israel to land his foot on all, he gave them, and this was a promise. And then he told Yehoshua the same thing. We also need to land our foot on the promises of Yah. We have to make sure that every promise that Yah has given us, that we take hold of and we don't let go. We need to walk in faith on all of his promises. In Devarim, or Deuteronomy chapter 11 and 24, it says, "Wherever the sole of your footsteps will be yours, your territory will extend from the desert to the Lebanon, from the river, the Euphrates River, to the Western Sea," that is the Mediterranean. Our land, Australia, also known as the Great South Land of the Ruach HaKodesh, or the Great South Land of the Holy Spirit, in my mind, is also a promised land. As long as we live here, because this is where Yah has placed us to do his work, we can put our feet all over this land and claim it for Yah. Yah's promises to the children of Israel were mostly physical blessings. As believers, we have spiritual blessings. In Ephesians 1 and verse 3, which I've already read you, It says, praise be Yehovah, the Father of our Lord Yeshua HaMashiach, who in HaMashiach has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heaven. All we have to do is claim it. These are the promises that we need to stand on. He has promised to bless us, and we have to take those blessings. Look for your blessings every single day, because you will find them. All we've got to do is open our eyes. Even if it's just a car park, it's a blessing. If we truly live in a land of the Ruach HaKodesh, or the Holy Spirit, this is the promise of which we need to... This is the promise of which we need to stand, and we do that by faith and trust in Yehovah's word. When you can stand by faith, Yehovah, what Yehovah has promised, then it is yours. It doesn't matter what it is. It could be a job, it could be a healing, it could be a life partner, it could be anything. But if Yah has promised it to you, claim it, and it will be yours. Standing by faith, I mean being convinced it is yours to the extent that you demand hell to go, or whatever it is, in bold challenge, knowing that Yah is with you and you're not afraid of the evil one for 1 second. Nothing man can do to you can harm you. It can take your life, but you've still got eternity with Yah. You can stand by faith also in not giving up, for it may take some time for your promise to be fulfilled. We have to believe Yah for things that sometimes he does not give to us on the spot. It'd be nice if he gave everything to us on the spot, but sometimes it doesn't happen that way. But if we have prayed and we've asked for it, don't keep praying for it. Start thanking him for it, because then it will come into being. You know, we don't get things as soon as we ask, because Yah has a reason. We may not be ready to move into that position that he wants us. May not be ready to receive that healing. That partner that Yah has for us mightn't be ready for us yet. We might be ready, but the partner mightn't be. You see, Yah knows exactly what everything is going on in everyone's lives. We don't. We only know what's about ourselves. But we have to stand in faith. We have to thank him that what we have asked for will come into being. You cannot think that positively unless you have faith to believe that if Yah says it, it's for you. That if Yah says it's for you, then it is for you. Shaul told the church at Ephesus in the book of Ephesians to fight for their inheritance. And they had to fight for it in the Ruach, or in the Spirit, and put on the armour, which was the spiritual shoes that he called the gospel of peace. So we're going to revisit Ephesians chapter 6 again. In Ephesians 6, 10 to 13. Finally, grow powerful in union with Adonai, in union with his mighty strength. Use all the armour and weaponry that Yehovah provides. That is the sword of the Spirit, the helmet of salvation, all of your armour, the breastplate of righteousness, so that you will be able to stand against the deceptive tactics of the adversary. For we are not struggling against human beings, but against the rulers, authorities, and cosmic powers governing this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. So take up every piece of war equipment Yehovah provides, so when the evil day comes, you will be able to resist, and when the battle is won, you will still be standing. And Ephesians 6:15, which we read before, and wear on your feet the readiness that comes from the good news of Shalom. The shoes are special, because it's the shoes that give you peace, Shalom. Now, shalom does not mean that you've got perfect peace. It, and things are perfect, everything's perfect, you know, nothing's wrong in your life. Shalom actually means that you are content in your circumstances. Because you might have peace with something one day and not have it with the next. But if you are content in your circumstances, you are in shalom. The shoes are special, as I said, because they give us that message of hope, the message of shalom, which means that the footwear is the preparation, just the preparation. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Yeshua to save our souls. And that is, and if that is our footwear, then it is trying to tell us that we walk as though we have died. We're buried and we're resurrected. We made peace with Yehovah by being saved, since mankind is in war with Yah until he gets saved. So it is faith that we walk as if we were really crucified, as if we were really buried, but as if we've also risen with Yeshua. And that is the only way to have Yehovah and his Ruach with us. We have to take hold of that and really remember it and really walk it in our lives. Be strong in the context of Yehoshua and Ephesians is speaking about faith. And it's a faith that should be unwavering, no doubt. It should be a faith that is confident. There should be a faith without worrying. We can't worry about what man thinks about us. It's none of our business. That's between them and Yah. And we should be holding ourselves up and not being discouraged easily. We've got to be standing firm on Yehovah's word. If Yehovah stressed the need for Yehoshua to be strong, then what does that tell you about how important it is for us to have strength through our faith? To me, it's one and the same message. It's like what is written on our liturgy sheet, and I don't have one with me, but it's on page 3. And it says, and it's been there since day one of Beit Gan Eden, and it says, Hazak, Hazak, Venit Chazek. Be strong, and let us be strengthened. That is there every week for you, to let you know that you can depend on Yah. That, you know, we have to be depend on him for our strength. And it was also put there so that you could leave here feeling strengthened in Yehovah, well, hopefully. But it's been there for 25 years. So we have to stay strong in our faith. In Matityahu chapter 21 and verse 21, it says, Yeshua answered them and said, yes, I tell you, if you have trust and don't doubt, you will say not only do you will not only do what was done to this fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, go and throw yourself into the sea, it will be done. You cannot expect to have Yah with you to defeat enemies greater than you if you are not ready to obey his gospel message. And this is not the same mental acceptance and agreement of the good news of hope that it is true. Oh yeah, I believe it's true. I'm talking about walking the gospel experience daily in your lives, experiencing it and living it. Like, talk the talk and walk the walk. We can't say one thing and do something else. In Yochanan Aleph, or 1 John 4, 2, verses 4 to 6, it says, anyone who says, I know him, that is Yeshua, but isn't obeying his commands is a liar. The truth is not in him. But if someone keeps doing what he says and truly love for Yehovah has been brought to its goal in life. This is how we are sure that we are united with him. A person who claims to be continuing in union with him or to conduct his life the way he did. Yeshua only did what his Father commanded him to do. Keeping his mitzvot or commandments is associated with not just saying we abide in Yeshua HaMashiach, but is actually walking the way Yeshua walked. And how did he walk? Well, one, he observed the Sabbath. You all observe the Sabbath. You're sitting here today, or you're listening online. He observed the designated festivals of the Torah. And he observed everything in the Torah that was applicable to a single man, because Yeshua was a single man. He didn't have to observe what the Kohanim observed. He wasn't a Kohanim. He didn't have to observe what a married man had to observe. He wasn't married. You see, the Torah is specific to each and every one of us and our situation in life. To take this a step further and realize that we actually do walk in newness of life, as Yeshua did by believing we were actually crucified, buried and risen with him, and because we are here or listening online on the Shabbat, we are living as Yeshua did to the best of our ability, realizing that the festivals can only be commemorated or honored as there is no longer a temple for them to be carried out as they used to be. In Romans 6 and verse 4, it says, through immersion into his death, we were buried with him, so that just as through the glory of the Father, the Messiah was raised from the dead, likewise we too might live a new life. If you are going to enjoy the promised land, you have to enter into it and then dwell in it. And that means you have to use your feet. You have to walk into it. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7 it says, if we live by trust, or some versions say faith, not by what we see. And some of you might have heard the saying, for we live by faith, not by sight. This, though, I'm reading from the Complete Jewish Bible, which is different to the King James and a few others. It is not physically seeing something, but rather faithfully understanding and believing something. That is what's important. The two books of Yehoshua and Ephesians are parallel to one another. Yehoshua knows the physical inheritance of the land of Canaan and that Israel was given to enter and enjoy, while Ephesians speaks of the spiritual inheritance believers are supposed to enter into and enjoy. Jehovah first spoke of the land of Canaan to Abraham. And in Bereshit, Genesis chapter 12 and verse 7, it says, Jehovah appeared to Abraham, and this is before his name was changed to Abraham, and said, to your descendants I will give you this land. So he built an altar there to Jehovah who had appeared to him. And further down in Bereshit 13, 14 to 17, Jehovah says to Abraham, after Lot had moved away from him, look, all around you, from where you are, north, the south, the east and the west, all the land I will give you, all the land you see, I will give to you and your descendants forever. I will make your descendants as numerous as the specks of dust on the earth, so that if a person can count the specks of dust on the earth, then your descendants can be counted. Get up and walk. Had to use his feet. Get up and walk through the length and breadth of the land, because I will give it to you. Abraham not only stood on the land, but was told to see the length and the breadth of it. And then he had to walk it. The scriptures call believers in Yeshua HaMashiach the children of Abraham. You are the children. You mightn't be the bloodline, like some of us are, but you are still the children of Abraham. But we must have the faith of Abraham. So let us look at what Shaul says to the people of Rome in Romans 4, verses 11 and 12. In fact, he received circumcision, this is Abraham, as a sign, as a seal of the righteousness he had been credited on the ground of the trust he had while he was still uncircumcised. This happened so that he could be the father of every uncircumcised person who trusts and thus has righteousness accredited to him, and at the same time be the father of every circumcised person who not only has had Brit Milah, but also follows in the footsteps of the trust which Avraham Avinu, that is Abraham our father, had when he was still uncircumcised. Whereas the natural seed of Avraham were Yehovah's chosen people and entered into the land of Canaan, the spiritual seed is made up of believers who have faith. Some may be Jew, some may be Gentile, but we are one in Yeshua HaMashiach. And we all move in the spiritual realm of heavenly places. Our inheritance is spiritual. It is power to overcome the evil one. And it's the riches of glory that we cannot even fathom in this life right now. The riches and the glory that we will receive. But there is a whole lot more to this life than living and dying so we can get to heaven. There is power now. Also, Abraham was told to walk the length and breadth of the land to see where the inheritance of his seed would be. Shaul wrote in Ephesians 3:16-19, I pray that from the treasures of his glory he will empower you with inner strength by his ruach, or by his spirit, so that the Messiah may live in your hearts through your trusting. Also I pray that you will be rooted and founded in love, so that you with all Elohim's people will be given strength to grasp the breadth, length, height and depth of the Messiah's love. Yes, to know it, even though it is beyond all knowing, so that you will be filled with all the fullness of Yehovah. We need to see the length, breadth, height and depth of this spiritual land. As I said, we live in the great south land of the Ruach HaKodesh, but the Ruach is missing, especially from the governing bodies of this land, and that is why we pray every week for them. We need to pray for them, because if we don't, nobody else will. And we don't have to like what they do, like what they say, like what they put into place, but we still need to pray for them. We have just celebrated Australia Day. And Australia Day has become very contentious. On the 26th of January 1949, the Australian nationality came into existence. When the Nationality and Citizen Act of 1948 was enacted. I was born in Australia long before 1949. I was at school in 1949. And I was born as a British citizen in this country. I wasn't an Australian. I was a British citizen, because before I was born and until 1948, everyone born in Australia was a British citizen. It wasn't until the 26th of January 1949 that the first ever Australia Day was celebrated. Because on that day was the first call, they were the first time that they were called Australians and allowed to travel with an Australian passport as Australians and not British subjects. And that is why we hold Australia Day on the 26th of January. because the 26th of January 1949, British citizens of Australia became Australians. That is why citizenship ceremonies are done on that day. You don't hear this in the mainstream media. On the day the First Fleet landed at Botany Bay, it was the 18th of January 1788. It wasn't the 26th of January. One of the first things that was done when they landed was for them to pray. That they prayed a thanking Yah for their safe journey and for the future new life in an unknown but promised land. You won't hear that on mainstream media either. But I just thought I might share it with you. In the summer of 1991, Malachy and I walked to the top of Mount Kosciuszko. We went there specifically to pray over the land of Australia. We faced the north, we faced the south, we faced the east, we faced the west, and we prayed. It was very cold. It was summer, but it was still very cold, and some people were stopped from going up because they didn't believe they were strong enough to enter because of the wind was so strong and it was so cold. And we had to walk through snow to get there. We were there to place our feet where we thought was somewhere important, where we could reach the whole nation at the highest peak of our nation. And it's important that when we pray, that we believe what we pray for and we claim it. We also need to make a concerted effort to pray over the land, which we are walking daily today. You might be just walking to the shops. You might just be even in your own backyard. Pray over that land. That is your land. That the evil one won't come near you and touch you. It is the Ruach HaKodesh within us that directs our prayers. It doesn't have to be a prayer that's really highly spiritual and all that sort of stuff. You just speak to Yah as if you're speaking to me or I'm speaking to you. He knows your heart. He knows your thoughts before you even say them. So you just speak to him like you're speaking to anyone else. Remember, he's your loving Heavenly Father. He only wants the best for his kids. And he only wants the best for our promised land, which we are living in at the moment. Are there any questions? None? So we'll move on to the remembrance service.